we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Welcome, our wonderful, wonderful audience. It's nice to call you our wonderful audience, because usually I'm on TV and radio by myself, but this is Dr. Peter Breggin and Ginger Breggin on America Out Loud Pulse.
Hi, everybody.
Well, thanks for chiming in.
Well, it's important, you know. They can't see my face.
Oh, God, what they are missing, the face that has lit up my life. Folks, you don't know. I saw this face and everything changed. That was 50 years ago.
Yeah, it's true.
And I got so scared, it took me 10 years to get around to saying, would you marry me? And she said, yes, thank God.
Yep. He vanished for 10 years and then we got back.
Well, you were very beautiful.
Then we got together.
I had to run.
Hey, you missed a good 10 years.
Well, listen, this is going to be an amazing, amazing show. I want this show to be one of the most touching you've ever listened to. That's a big commitment. But I'm on, and Ginger is on, with James Thorpe. And as we have a good relationship and an interesting relationship, so does Jim with his Maggie Thorpe, who is a lawyer but won't be present. But just as Ginger is with me when I'm alone, Maggie is with our dear friend Jim.
And our friend Jim is an MD, just like Peter.
Wow. Now, Jim is a maternal fetal medicine specialist, an OBGYN who specializes. And Jim, I'm going to explain what you told me, because I was confused about all this. Now, I said, are you a neonatologist? Now, I've known this man for years and loved him for years, and we've talked for years. And I've even had one of those neonatologists for a patient years ago. And I didn't understand that first you're a pediatrician and then you're a neonatologist, because you're with the live out of, the baby's been alive all along, but you're with the out of the birth canal person, the newborn human being. And you work with the mother and the baby inside the mom. And when the baby gets out, while you're sharing and everything that goes on, especially if it's a difficult case, because you specialize in those tough cases, but officially for billing and so on, it would be the pediatrician and neonatologist. Is that correct?
That's correct. And first, thank you so much, Dr. Breggin and Ginger, for having me on your incredible platform. It's such an honor and a privilege. And I do appreciate being here so much this afternoon during this holiday season with you and with your audience. But don't feel bad, Dr. Breggin or Ginger, because no physicians can keep this issue straight. So it's a constant source of confusion. So
I
have to explain it. My own colleagues don't really know who I am, but the best way, you explained it well. So that the primary specialty is OBGYN residency or pediatric residency. So if somebody wants to go on and do the high-risk treatment of high-risk pregnancy, that would be maternal fetal medicine. Then, on the other hand, the pediatrician, if it wants to take care of neonatology, which, by the way, neo in Greek means, of course, new, and natology is birth. So a neonatology period is the first 28 days of life. So a neonatologist would be that board certified pediatric subspecialist of neonatology. And it's important because we work in parallel. Of course, the OBs work in parallel with the pediatricians. And of course, we work in parallel maternal fetal medicine with the neonatologist, because when we hand off that high risk pregnancy and the umbilical cord gets clamped at delivery, that officially becomes the patient of the neonatologist.
Well, I'm just very glad to have you here, and you are to me, one of the most dear and precious men in the whole world.
Well, thank you, Dr. Reagan.
Your commitment to caring and wanting to lead a loving life and a spiritual life is just touches me deeply. And I thought we'd just dive right into that. I mean, the anguish that you at times have personally expressed to me about what you see happening in the world, and you talk about your babies, and when you talk about your babies, it's heartrending, you know, as you discuss what's going on with the vaccines and what's going on with the drugging and all these other things that end up affecting the baby in the womb. Is so moving. And I just wanted to first acknowledge you for that, because there is a lack of treasuring this whole process of birth. Ginger and I have been talking about that, pregnancy and birth, this incredible miracle, and even if you don't believe in God, it's mind-blowing. I mean, even godless people have to look at this and say, wow, what an amazing phenomena. But for many of us, it's a very profound issue and experience. And you've talked so eloquently about your feelings. I don't know how you'd feel about just talking about that right now, because, I mean, your observations on what's happening right now the spiritual level of your view of it. How do you feel comfortable just diving into some of that?
Absolutely. I think, Dr. Bregan, you know, the one statement that I would make is that this is a real personal disaster to me, and you've taught me a lot, sir, about how to try to depersonalize the situation for my own psyche. But it's really, really difficult, because to me, Dr. Bregan and Ginger, this is the most egregious violation of ethics in the history of the world. You know, before, yeah, we had some really horrible things put on humanity, but it was a different time and it was a different era. It was a time where it was not global assault by the globalists on the worldwide community. It was, you know, a really regional assault at the level of a country or a country state, or maybe part of a continent. But that makes it very different to me. And the second part that makes it very, very different to me, and I'm not sure whether you'll be on board with this or not, I think you will be, both of you, is that this is a total different form. This is fifth generation warfare, where the people being attacked and killed, they don't know they're in a war. And you know that. But with the evil people and the despots in all of human history before, this war has never been waged with a fifth generation warfare. So it's very painful for me to see the carnage, the death, and the destruction and the injury of my patients. And who are my patients? My patients are women of reproductive age, pregnant women, preborn, and newborn babies. I'll take that newborn baby, since they've been under my care for 9 months, so I'll put that in my category for the neonatologist. So it's been really, really difficult for me to depersonalize this, which you're really good at doing and teaching me to do, but it's really difficult to not see the pain and the suffering, you know, all these miscarriages, starting out before pregnancy, you know, the really abnormal menstrual patterns and the infertility in couples is just, it's really heart, it really pains one's heart to see these young, beautiful daughters of our Most High God be tortured with this blight. It's really, really horrible. And then if that were not bad enough, anybody that calls it out, because we physicians, as you know, we're under a gag order, we get persecuted and we get censored and we get mocked and scoffed at and gaslit. which is also in of itself a very painful experience, as both of you know well.
Yeah.
Jim, that's deepening for me. Thank you very much for that. I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to ask you on the air if what I'd like to ask you to do is, you know, have a look at the manuscript we're working on now about the globalists on a whole new level, and ask you to do an introduction to the book based on what you just said. I would love that. That is so deep. We can send you a copy of this, and just if you want to refresh what you said, but
I'd be so honored.
Because I don't do that good a job as you just did. And
you do a much better job.
Listen now. Yeah, I mean, I got a little chills just listening to you talking about that.
If you think you get chills, how do you think I feel sitting in front of the conscience of all of medicine in the world?
Oh, come on.
Oh, thank you.
I presume it's the two of us you're talking about. We're the conscience.
Yes.
No, honey, I'm afraid that.
I'll settle for the conscience of psychiatry. I have loved that. And I think you're certainly more the conscience of medicine than I. And there are a number of really beautiful consciences of medicine
right now
that we
yes.
are working with now. That's an interesting idea, because when you start looking at Dr. Vliet, Elizabeth Lee Vliet, who actually edited the first of our books on COVID, and we're getting sort of near the new one and being finished in next months. And
Dr. McCullough.
And then Dr. McCullough, who wrote an introduction to the previous book, and Zev Zelenko.
Yeah.
And Zev's gone. And you would be, there's no replacement for Zev, but I wouldn't feel the loss so great if you would write an introduction to the new book.
I'd be so honored.
Let's try to even talk more about this. How do we live in this world and think of unborn babies and pregnant mothers and other human beings as precious? I mean, the thing that there is nothing about in the whole globalism, and you're right, there's never been a global assault before, because we only now got the technology.
They
figured out they could do it with the vaccines. They probably could have done it years ago with the vaccines, but they couldn't have got past medical conscience. Now they've been able to destroy medical conscience, Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, the Chinese.
World. And they wouldn't have had the propaganda either to manipulate the populations.
The way they do now, yeah. But yeah, and the depth of this, that there are actually people who knew, oh Lord, the things that I've had to come to, my wonderful audience, I need you now, the things that I've had to come to grips with writing the first book and now the second book, the first book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators, to realize that at the moment that they did warp speed to rush these vaccines through without a proper investigation and to get them online in a few months instead of the usual 5 to 10 or 20 years. Literally, their vaccines have taken 20 years to get approved because it's so critical. They're so dangerous. They are with you for the rest of your life once they're stuck in your arm. And to discover that there were several, at least two major papers published in early 2020 saying, don't do this. That we have not solved a problem. These are by experts on mRNA. We have not solved the problem of what to do about this, I always get the letters mixed up, this dependency that happens.
ADE.
ADE, what is that exactly, love? That's autoimmune...
It's something enhancement.
autoimmune enhancement, anyway. And what it is that if you've had
it's antibody something.
Antibody autoimmune enhancement.
It's antibody with it, and then a D. Antibody something.
Dependency.
Antibody dependent.
Thank you.
Antibody dependent. And that that if you've been vaccinated ahead of time and you get the disease, it will be worse because it's being the bad reactions, particularly the clotting and the excessive inflammation, can kill you if you've had the disease first. And if you get vaccinated and get the disease, you can get the same thing, because again, the stimulation of getting these vaccines overstimulates the autoimmune system and may for the rest of your life, we don't know yet. I mean, so that the risks associated with it are so terrible. And to think that there were articles published saying this, in January 20, in January and March, it's just incredible. One of them financed by Fauci's NIAID, so it was certainly well known.
I'd like to add also that although we all refer to these as a vaccine,
it ain't no
for
vaccine.
Convenience, and because that's how people identify them who are listening to this show, these are actually toxic and deadly gene-altering and gene-manipulating substances, and they're toxic and dangerous.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's an enzyme in the body, transferase, that enables those molecules of RNA that are being created in your own body under force from the injections. It's like having a Gestapo in there, getting in there and say, you're going to make a new protein, whack, whack, whack. And you make the spike protein, and it's it's the chain of RNA that's doing this. That's a half of the DNA, the pieces of the DNA. And the enzyme allows the RNA to get back into your nucleus of your cell to change your nuclear DNA, who your cells are, and that includes the egg, I believe, and the sperm. And folks, this is like so
And then these
immoral.
Can carry forward generationally. Yeah. Just like, I think it was DES that was an earlier injection that was done that caused devastating reproductive issues in women. I think you're nodding, right, Jim?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
We are almost, we can take a break now, and we will be back.
Yeah, and I want to keep delving. I want to hear more of Jim. I got off on this now. Let's go back. We'll go back to wonderful Dr. Jim Thorpe when we return.
We'll be right back.
Cold and flu season is here. Wouldn't it be great if you had a way to minimize airborne viral threats? Well, now there is, and it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray called Cofix RX. You might even say it's just what the doctor ordered. To reduce your chance of getting hurt, you wear a safety belt when you're driving. To limit sun damage, you wear sunscreen on the beach. Cofix RX is just like that. It's an additional layer of protection. It's sold by thousands of pharmacists and medical doctors nationwide. It's made right here in the USA. Again, it's a povidone iodine-based antiviral nasal spray. You've heard them talk about it here on the Out Loud Network over and over again. Check out CofixRx.com. That's CofixRx.com for a retailer near you, or use coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off at CofixRx.com.
Here on America Out Loud, we emphasize optimal health, and air is the most essential element for life. The average person inhales over 35 pounds of air every day, yet we seldom think about how to rid the air of pathogens swiftly and safely when we need to. The Genesis Fogger Plus HOCL is the only way to quickly and naturally restore air to its optimal condition. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud for a free ebook on everything you need to know about HOCL and receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you'll be ready for what's next.
America Out Loud beats to the pulse of our nation. We know when you're angry, you're troubled, confused, glad, and thankful. We know you because we are you. Join us as we explore the most important issues of our time. We are America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Hello, I'm Ben Marble, MD, and I founded MyFreeDoctor.com as a donation-supported, faith-based nonprofit with a mission to save lives by delivering free doctor visits to patients in all 50 states of America. MyFreeDoctor.com treats a broad range of health concerns like COVID-19, long COVID, sinus infections, urinary tract infections, rashes, medication refills, and more. So please visit MyFreeDoctor.com, where we're healing America one person at a time.
And we're back.
Oh, this is Peter Bregan, Dr. Peter Bregan. This is Ginger Ross Bregan, married for 40 years. We're talking to Jim Thorpe, one of my dearest friends here on Earth. And Jim, I pick up where we've been talking. And I've mentioned Jim is an OBGYN with a specialty in maternal fetal medicine. So pick up with your own thoughts and take it anywhere you want.
Yeah, I was highly upset this week for a couple of reasons. Number one, I read the bills that Gavin Newsom out in California passed that are perpetrating murder. I don't use that word lightly, but there's no other word for it, Dr. Bregan, Ginger. He's passed a bill where a California mother and pediatrician can kill a baby and they cannot be investigated. It would be illegal to investigate for murder. In other words, they would be allowed to do that. And there's multiple bills like that. And one cannot fathom the evil of that.
After the child has been born? I've heard of this.
Yes.
Oh, that's horrific.
And, you know, I do this. The other event this week that really, really upset me and really set me off, which was a little bit tough in addition to the sickness that my beautiful bride and I have had, was I opened up the paper late last week, I guess it was, and here's this young, incredibly talented Canadian 18-year-old hockey player that played in the elite league, the traveling league in Ontario. And I'm a hockey nut. I love hockey. And this kid died. He died suddenly in his sleep because Trudeau forced him to have the vaccination, which is obvious because he wouldn't be allowed to play on that elite traveling team. This is an 18-year-old kid. Okay, and I would have done the same thing as he did. I would have taken the shot. I would have taken my, you know, I would have played Russian roulette because I'm an 18-year-old kid. It's my favorite sport. I'm going to play no matter what. This poor kid didn't have a chance, and it really breaks my heart. He would have been another Wayne Gretzky. I think he would have competed with Wayne Gretzky. He was that good. And he's gone. He's dead. He'll never be enjoyed again by his family or by the worldwide, you know, hockey community. So those two events have just really, really upset me how such evil in these people. And then it begs the question, what is causing the evil? And, you know, as I hate to call myself a biblical scholar or a scholar of any sort, but I have read the Bible my whole life. And two of the really unclean spirits, demonic spirits, that would affect the Jews, God's chosen people, and all people, was the satanic spiritual being of Moloch, who killed children, and then the demonic spirit of Ishtar, who was actually, interestingly, didn't have a sex. It was an androgynous being. They identified as both a female and a male, but their shtick was a horrible sexual focus on really stealing God's purpose for one's life and replacing it with the worship of sex or Ishtar. And so every nation, or all the Hittites, the Jebusites, all these people that they got, the non-Jews that lived around the Israelites, were infected with all of these satanic beings, and they practiced and worshiped these beings. And once they were let into the society, they really never got out of the society, and the society was pretty much lost forever. And it makes me think that in the United States of America, that and in Canada, I don't see any other rational explanation except, you know, we have the spirit of Ishtar and the spirit of Molech. And there's actually a third spirit that I won't go into, but it's the unholy three spirits that have been with humanity the whole time. And so once they infect a nation, then it's maybe terminally infected, so that you have people like Gavin Newsom, like Joe Biden, like James Comey, like you could go on and on and on, these pedophiles that focus and have this voracious, horrible, sick appetite for pedophilia, right up Ishtar's alley and Moloch's alley. So is there any, it helps me to understand why these people seem so justified. They're possessed by an evil spirit. I don't know any other way to say it, except how could you perpetrate such evil? Dr. Bragan?
I think that, well, actually, this is Ginger.
Ginger.
I think that there's a removal of all of the signals that we should have, that we should have learned from our families, from our cultures, that would have alerted us that something evil this way comes, that we need to guard ourselves against, that because I do believe, actually, in my personal faith, I believe that we are put here to be tested and to make moral decisions in the world and in this world that we're in, and that we get to practice making moral decisions. And the more we're conscious of that and we think through the fact, I'm making a moral decision here, whether it's one of the most profound or whether it's something as simple as, I should really take this cart back to the front of the store instead of leaving it in the parking lot, or finding $10 on the street and attempting to locate the owner rather than putting it in your pocket. Those are small, very daily kinds of decisions that one might make. But I think that that kind of practice creates a road and creates a pattern that then makes it easier for us to, first of all, even see a big decision that has to be made and to really be able to think through what's the right activity. So both on a personal level and on a cultural level, if the culture and if the individuals are making these decisions and practicing that kind of moral hygiene, if you will, spiritually moral hygiene, then when the bigger decisions come along, then we're able to look at that and respond with a confidence instead of wondering, are we going to offend people if we have this opinion, and so forth and so on. There are still absolutes in the world. There always will be, because there is evil and there is good. And the other thing that occurs to me immediately is that in our culture over the last 50 years, we've just watched love being scrubbed from the landscape. We used to have popular songs and other things about genuine love and being in love romantically, loving one's family, and so forth and so on. Other than loving pets, I don't see a lot of love being accepted at this point in time, other than the occasional romantic love issues. And that is part of caring about life, is loving. When you have the experience of loving, and when you love your family, your community, your country, and so forth, then you care about what's happening. And that leads you to the point of thinking about moral choices again. So that's my two cents.
I like that. Thank you, Ginger.
Thank you.
Very eloquent.
The when you started to talk about Gavin Newsom and the murder of babies and making sure in advance that no one would ever be held responsible, I have this incredible attachment to that historically, which I've just been restudying in terms of the Holocaust. And it really didn't strike me until this instant of the connection between, the profound connection between Gavin Newsom's legislation and the Holocaust. The first victim of the Holocaust was a young baby, a mother, and apparently other mothers were doing this too because they kind of knew the views of the Fuhrer, wrote to Hitler and said that I have a deformed baby and who will not grow up to be normal, and I would like permission to have my baby killed. And Hitler got the letter, and he instructed his chief physicians to go and meet this mother. And the chief physician went and met the mother. This was in the midsummer of 1939, just before the invasion of Poland, just as he was getting ready to declare, and very shortly after war would be declared. And the physician went, met with the mother, and they killed the baby. And Hitler then called, and the latest information I had, I'd never had before, I'm trying to track down her references to this, a very good book. Hitler then met with 12 psychiatrists, not neonatologists, you know, not maternal and fetal medicine, psychiatrists, to begin the organized slaughter throughout Germany, not of Jews. Jews weren't even allowed into this because the Jews were not part of the community, not worthy of any good interventions. The beginning of the organized slaughter of infants and children in Germany. And that slaughter by within 2 or 3 months was so organized that they'd taken a huge hospital complex in one of the buildings and made it all wards for the killing of children. And that is before the killing of adult mental patients, which was then followed by the killing of Jews, gypsies, homosexuals, and so on. So the first victim, official victim, I'm sure there are other victims scattered in there, but the first official victim designated by Hitler for death was an infant whose mother wanted it destroyed because, and doctors wanted it destroyed, everybody agreed, because of its, and the deformities are never really described, nor is any reason to believe that the child would not be mentally competent or whatever. That's not even described in any of the documents I see. So there it is, that one child.
Wow. That's an amazing story. I've never heard that before. Thank you very much, Dr. Bragan, for bringing that to my attention. You know, it. I don't know who first quoted this, but I've quoted it for years, that a country or a society or a family, for that matter, is I think most appropriately judged by how they treat the most vulnerable members.
Yeah.
Yes.
And clearly the most vulnerable member is a child, a preborn or a newborn child of our Most High God. And we know that some people might not, the Hitlers and the Newsoms and, you know, all the other politically correct people we know that they celebrate killing these innocents. These are the most precious. And if I can go into just Jesus's focus to bring kids back, they were the center of his ministry, children. And he constantly reminded everybody around him of that, because that wasn't, and you probably know, both of you probably know better than I, but the culture at the time was that you didn't honor children. Children were nothing. They were subhuman. They were to be seen and not heard.
Do you remember some of the quotes? I think that I remember something about suffer the children to come unto me or something. I mean, Jesus is talking about the children.
Yes. When he was doing his ministry, and the children would just naturally just be incredibly attracted to him. But the apostles would try to shoo them away. And Jesus kind of said, no. You can't come into the kingdom of God unless you have the heart of a child, the faith of a child.
Oh.
And also beautiful. Jesus said in Matthew, anyone who would ever abuse this child right now, your punishment is more severe than you'll ever know. You should go out and throw a rope with a millstone around your neck into the ocean and be drowned. You'd be better off. So I think that Jesus made it pretty clear in his ministry that he honored children and honored life.
I mean, that's worth enough to write about that particular thing. I wonder if people have written very much about what the New Testament has to say about the sacredness and the treasuring of children. I mean, this is just so critical. Ginger is collecting, she collected a couple of hundred of my tapes on VCR.
Oh, wow.
And gave them to a dear friend of ours who is our assistant. I think whom we got through Jim.
Yes.
What a coincidence. Steve. And Steve is going through these tapes, and he found a 2-hour uncut interview with me from 1993 about treasuring children.
And it was a soliloquy.
Wow.
2 hours. And I couldn't believe, you know, I've almost lost track of how much, when the issues were the drugging of children, I just poured my heart out in every direction that I could. So we're going to put that up at some point. We're just working on putting it up, thanks to Ginger and Steve, your Steve and my Ginger.
Can you and Steve convert those to?
They're being converted as we speak.
Awesome.
We've got 200 tapes are being converted. We're going
to
find the gems.
That's going to be, you know, you could just, that's just a treasure trove, because you can go back and just, you know, publish another 10 books on that. I mean, yes. That'd be incredible.
And the issues are all the same, you know.
We're going to pick up on that topic after
the
break.
In the next section.
Yes, after the break. We're taking a break now.
Thank you.
For 40 years, alarmists have been warning of a climate catastrophe, yet none of their dire predictions have come true. Temperatures have not soared, sea level rise has not been unusual, and extreme weather events have not increased in either frequency or intensity. In short, there is no climate emergency. For 15 years, the International Climate Science Coalition has led the call for climate realism and a Made in America climate plan. A plan based on real science that responds to the real-world needs of Americans, supports economic growth, and strengthens our essential infrastructure. A plan that protects the environment and ensures that Americans can enjoy the blessings of clean air, clean land, and clean water for generations to come. It's time to put ideology and pseudoscience aside. It's time for a sensible climate plan. For more information or to donate, visit our website, icsc-climate.com.
Trouble getting to sleep and staying asleep is infuriating. Your mind races, you toss and turn, and the harder you try, the harder it is to drift off. And today's fast-paced digital age makes it tougher. You're not alone. Poor sleep affects over 70% of us. The CDC even labeled insufficient sleep a public health epidemic. Advanced nutrition company, Healthy Cell, created REM Sleep to help you quickly fall asleep, stay asleep, sleep deep, and wake refreshed. Unlike other supplements that don't work, REM Sleep is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients, supporting all four stages of sleep using calming herbs, amino acids, and sleep hormone support. Over 1,000 reviews with an average star rating of over 4.4 proves it works. Take back your sleep. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD.
Well, welcome back. This is Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan with their dear friend, James Thorpe. I imagine now that you've listened to two sections, you're beginning to understand why we love this man so much and admire him and respect him as a physician. He is truly what a physician is supposed to be, just astonishingly soulful and a caring man. And I just think we don't just talk enough about those qualities in each other. And of course, one can't talk about it very well in oneself. So I'm just proud to know you and have you here. Ginger, Jim, my last comments were enough for me to rest for a little bit about the start of the Holocaust with this one child.
Well, I thought that one thing that Jim might be able to address would be the various, and we don't have to spend the whole segment, but if you could help women to understand the various kinds of symptoms that they may be struggling with, especially post the toxic vaccine injections. And I don't know where the treatment issues are at this point in regards to addressing those. But I think it would be useful for women to know what's going on, if it's abnormal, and where they can best start to seek advice and remedy for what's going on.
Certainly. Yeah, and let me begin with one thing that and I'm sure we'll all agree on this. Women of the world, do not give your child into these the so-called COVID vaccines. Do not take them if you're nursing. Do not take them if you're pregnant.
Actually, I need to say,
and stop it altogether.
Yeah, I need to say, these are not vaccines. Don't take them. They're experiments. They have now been proven to be toxic and deadly in way too many cases. No one should be taking these vaccines. We've been saying that for a long time, and I think we need to be explicit about it.
And if you won't stop it for yourself, stop it for your children and the rest of humanity.
Right.
So.
Amen and amen and amen. I want to, Maggie and I love you guys. And Maggie is always downloading Peter Bregan pearls to me during the week, which I need to focus on a little bit more. And one of the I mentioned to you that I was pretty upset over those two issues this past week, and Maggie gets this stern voice, stern tone, and says, "Now, Jim, you know what Dr. Bregan said? Let God be God. Let him deal with all this stuff. You don't have to worry about it." And I know, but it's painful. So menstrual abnormalities are, we'll start with those. Those are extraordinarily aggressive abnormal bleeding in my women of reproductive age. And what's really of interest, I'm in with a group called My Cycle Story, and Tiffany Parato is a CEO and founder of that website. And she's a young, she's like my daughter's age. She's just a young troubadour speaking out for the women that have had all their experiences deleted from Facebook because it wasn't convenient to the rhetoric of the powers that be. So they took that off. She started her own website. We published our first paper about 9 months ago, which was really an important paper. And our second paper is about ready to be published. And what I will say is this, that I think is really important. It's of interest in that the at least 80% of the women that develop these severe menstrual irregularities were not vaccinated. They were in close proximity somebody that was vaccinated. So we're about ready. We've nailed that pretty tight now, probably just as tight as anybody else could improve, could prove shedding. Now, exactly what it is that's being shed, that's still up for some controversy. But to your point, Ginger, which I think is extraordinarily important, is what's causing it? And there's a really quick and easy short answer. We don't know. And nobody will fund the research. Dr. Ryan Cole and myself and Tiffany Parato and a young lady by the name of Aga Wilson and several others are doing just that. We are designing a laboratory and clinical study. We are obtaining funding. And Dr. Ryan Cole is a pathologist, and he has some very special stains for the spike protein and also for the pseudouridinated mRNA, which, and we can actually test placentas now. We can test blood. We can test colostrum or human breast milk. And we can do stains in all, in the endometrium, inside the womb, inside the uterus, to see what in the world is causing this severe bleeding. We don't know. And the important thing is, you know, I've listed about 7 potential causes, but the simple fact of the matter is that the standard treatment of this abnormal bleeding focuses on other pre-pandemic causes, which have nothing to do with the current causes. So some of those pre-pandemic therapies could actually be very dangerous if we don't know the cause. And unfortunately, you know, see no evil, speak no evil, hear no evil. We're not allowed, nor is there any money to investigate this. So we have to do it all ourselves so that we can. I'll give you an example. If it's the abnormal blood clotting in the microvascular, in the capillary, and we have microclots that's causing this severe bleeding, right? Which is very possible. It's even logical. It might be one of my number one guesses as to the cause. You wouldn't want to treat that particular woman with hormone therapy because that would increase the risk of clotting even more. So it's this kind of business of just shooting in the dark at, you know, something that you don't know what's causing it. It's a very dangerous thing, and nobody has any headway on this anywhere else in the world.
Wow. Well, once you've begun to address clotting with the pre-pandemic solutions, you don't have the baseline upon which to decide what direction to go in. At its simplest, do you make clots happen less with something that thins the blood, or do you do something to make clotting stronger? And that's very simplistic. And you don't have a baseline anymore because there are all kinds of other issues coming into this.
No, you're spot on, Ginger. That's not simplistic at all. You just hit the nail with a hammer. Perfectly. And a case in point, you know, there are these issues where, for example, in pregnancy, we can get a microclotting, which is actually causing bleeding. So think about that. It's kind of it's a oxymoronic or not a typical therapy that you would expect to use in a woman that is having some bleeding issues to treat her with a drug that could potentially cause more bleeding, right? A heparin or an anticoagulant, but in fact, it does work. And it is, it does make physiologic sense. And that's just one of seven. There are so many different potential causes. And then the patient, the couple, the poor couple aren't even pregnant yet. There's a massive increase in decline in birth rates all over the world now. And this, of course, there's been a really, really slow decline in birth weight for the last 20 years since the turn of the century. But that's ever so slow. You can look at the curve. But what is striking, and not to be confused with this ever so gradual drop in fertility, is what's happened in 2020, 2021, and 2022. The birth rates didn't drop in 2020. They didn't drop until after the vaccine was released in 2021. And so we're seeing declines in birth rates that quite frankly are not sustainable for any country. And it's very, very frightening. You're looking at some of these countries we're looking at a standard deviation is the measure of normalcy from a standard baseline. You know, we're looking at six standard deviations above in terms of if we want to quantify the severity. That was six standard deviations above for a country to have a month-by-month birth rate from the same month period a year before to drop 20% or even 15%. That's a massive reduction. And it's multifactorial, of course, because we have a substantial increase in miscarriage, a substantial increase in fetal malformations, fetal cardiac abnormalities, fetal cardiac arrest, severe preeclampsia, preterm premature rupture of membranes, preterm.
So many of these are lost babies rather than simply not getting pregnant to begin with. These are stillbirths that are happening, not even in the first few weeks, but in months, sometimes into the pregnancies. How tragic. Each one of those is such a horrendous loss for the, especially for the mother carrying the child, and then for the family, the husband and the any other members of the family. That is just, there is so much grief and loss going on in this world.
It's unbearable.
It's like a tidal wave.
It's unbearable. And then, of course, the babies that are born alive, there's an increased risk of newborn death because these babies are born unhealthy. They're born prematurely. They're born oftentimes after severe preeclampsia or preterm premature rupture of membranes. And then we're able to hand them off to the neonatologist, but then they go to the neonatal intensive care unit and they die because they're getting off to a very, very bad start. So in VAERS data, we have documented and corroborated all of that. And I do want to just say one point that I don't think you've had the opportunity to meet my sweet whistleblower. Gosh, I'd love for you guys to meet her. Her name is Michelle Gershman, and she's from a central city in California. And her administrator of women's health sent her and every other postpartum nurse in the community a detailed page and a half memo, email, detailing the extreme surge in fetal deaths, stillbirths. And to give you an idea, in this community, they saw 1 to 2 stillbirths every 2 to 3 months. And that gives us our normal US baseline of
about 5.8
per 1,000 births, live and stillbirths. So what they found was that in July of 2021, there were 22 stillbirths. And this repeated itself in September of 2022. And what I can tell you for sure is that this was not caused by COVID-19. And the reason why I know that for sure is when I aggregate the US stillbirth data from 20, 3 years, 2017, 2018, and 2019, the aggregate stillbirth rate was about 5.84 per thousand. Well, what happened in 2020? The United States had a massive number of casualties, death and destruction from COVID, but not fetal deaths, not stillbirth. The stillbirth rate in the United States of America in 2020 actually dropped to 5.74. It didn't rise really. Of course, we have no data in the United States after 2020. But what this lady saw was this supervisor, she talked about a 22 stillbirths in 1 month. When we were talking about sigma before, this is more than 40 sigma. This is unbelievable. This is a 1-in-million-year event. This is this is 40 sigma, 40 standard deviation surge above the
line. Oh, that's line. A nightmare.
And if that's not bad enough, now we go to Canada, where, again, the reason why we focus and we're seeing this in Canada, in California and Canada, is because in the central part of the country, Illinois and Missouri, where I practice, and I also practice in Florida, you know, the number of pregnancies that are vaccinated against COVID-19 is far, far, far lower than in California or in Canada. So in Canada, in British Columbia, and this is veritable data, this is verifiable data, there are 5 whistleblowers from Lionsgate Hospital in British Columbia, Canada, and this will get you nauseated, don't get sick on air. 13 dead babies in a 24-hour period.
Oh, Jim.
13 dead babies in a 24-hour period. Now, you look at Google it, you'll find it all over multiple different experts, multiple different whistleblowers documenting that. You can't make that up. I couldn't even chart that on my chart without lying a little bit and saying, well, it was 24 per a week. Because if I said 24 per day, that rate in terms of fetal deaths,
that flattens the entire rest of the chart.
It would be up to the moon. Right. I mean, it was crazy. Right. So it's a good lesson, though, that it's perfectly consistent with what I'm seeing. Like for every 10% of a pregnant population that's vaccinated, I predict, and my model will show that you add 2.5 fetal deaths per thousand births to that baseline rate of 5.8. So like in Florida and in Missouri and in Illinois, I'm guessing that maybe statewide only 10% of pregnancies are vaccinated, so that would attribute with 5.8 plus 2.5, which is whatever that adds up to, 8 something. That is 8 fetal deaths per thousand. That's on par with what I'm seeing in Florida and in the Midwest in my clinical experience.
Jim, we could go on for quite a while. We've only got a few seconds left. I just want to thank you so much, so much for the work you're doing. James Thorpe, how do people get in touch with you? Just real quick.
I'm on Getter, and I don't have a website. Unfortunately, I'm too busy, but
Dr. James Thorpe, thank you.
Any way that I can help anybody. I love you, Bregans, and got to focus on Jim. Remember what Dr. Bregans said.
God bless us.
Thank you, Jim.
Goodbye, our wonderful, wonderful audience. Thank you for listening to Such Deep Stuff.